Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I'm Rick Stevens. I am your host, and this is your show. Remember, if there's a topic you would like to have covered in a future show, if there are questions you'd like to have us answer, feel free to give us a call, 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or simply go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Go to that top right corner where we've got the Contact Us tab. Send us that message. Send us the question. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, we are joined, as always, in the studio by Andrew Rogers. Andrew, how are we doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing, Rick?
You know what? It's another beautiful day in paradise somewhere.
Yeah.
And we are also, folks, joined today by George Sleeman with Westside Tax. George, how we doing today?
Finer than a frog hair split six ways.
Ooh, six ways. That's pretty fine.
That's really fine.
And you and I would know nothing about hair.
I
split
don't know
six
a damn
ways.
Thing about hair.
No. I was gonna say, there's a lack of hair on that side.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, we've got a lot to cover in today's show. Our goal today is to bring it all home in four quarters, unlike a certain team that wears green and gold in the NFL, but I'm not really going there.
You know,
we are going to talk.
You went there.
I did go there. I can only do that this week because the Bears actually won this week and the Packers didn't.
Yeah.
I guess I can't really say anything ever.
Yeah.
Token Lions fan. One day.
Got to be a token somewhere.
Well, we're going to talk today about some changes that are coming down the pike, getting implemented in 2023 that actually deal directly with our paychecks, George.
Yeah, they do. And one thing that we talked about earlier that came in place in 22 that a lot of people still aren't aware of, too, I got to thinking about.
Ooh. So we got more stuff to get covered. And, you know, the crazy thing is, we're going to focus primarily today on the Colorado Family Medical Leave Insurance Program, which was developed in 20 or 21, right? The law came out, gets implemented at the beginning of 2023. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about the Colorado Secure Savings Program. Again, law came out in 2020.
Right.
Getting implemented now in 2023. We've got all kinds of craziness out there. We'll even hopefully get to some of the new updates from the federal side as well. So not just the state in terms of what we can put away in retirement accounts and that sort of stuff. But I want to start with the Family Medical Leave Program and the official term, right? The Family Medical Leave Insurance Program. They put that together for the cute FAMLI, you know, make it sound good sort of stuff. What the heck is that, George?
That is in conjunction with FMLA through the feds. With the federal government, you get 12 weeks of holding your job because of pregnancy, medical, whatever. Medical condition that requires long time out, your employer holds your job for you. It's not a bad program. This program is run through the state. My understanding is that it is After the fact of the federal, the employee pays for it. If the employer has 10 or more employees, they match that contribution. And then the employer has to hold their job for another 12 to 16 weeks. So in theory, 24 plus weeks of an employee being out that an employer has to hold that position for them. Now, the employee is going to get aid just like the unemployment. Mm-hmm. It's run through the unemployment. And I think it's capped at $1,100 a week, depending on what their pay is. So the unemployment rules, as far as that go, I imagine are going to be controlling how much.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just a payroll tax added on to the employee that they're paying. It's overall, I mean, it's less than 1%. But it's 1%.
Still one more way for the state government in this case, right? Because it's not a federal program.
No, it's not federal.
Program.
It's state.
So it's one more way for the state to basically grab almost 0.5% from each employee from their own side.
Yes, and then the employer matches. You have to pay into this program for a year before it can even be used. So they better have some really good investments to get that built up, because in this day and age, and my politics are going to show, and I'm sorry, but in this day and age, it's hard to find employees who want to work.
Mm-hmm.
People who, I mean, I've had job interviews that didn't show up. I've had job interviews that turned into a position that didn't show up for the first day of work.
Mm.
It's tough to find really good help out there. What I fear is that a program like this, although there are times that it is absolutely necessary, and I'm not going to disagree with that, but I also know that it's going to be abused.
And George, you mentioned that there's, you know, a certain size of company that they'll pay that, you know, match and do that.
Right.
What happens to those who may work for a smaller company or maybe the self-employed and doesn't have that company match?
The company doesn't have to match if it's between 1 and 9 employees. Then it just comes out of the employees' section. It doesn't change the benefit. It just changes how much money is being put into the pool.
Okay. And is there any size of business, you know, or anything that would maybe qualify for an exemption where this wouldn't be taken out?
My understanding is that there is no exemption. No one other than maybe state government is exempt. And I'm not sure if they are or not. I haven't looked into that because I don't do the state's taxes.
Okay.
Or payroll for that matter. But it's a 0.9% payroll tax split. So if you look at it, 0.45% tax from the employee. So for every $100, it's not that much.
Right, right.
But now, how many workers do you have in the state times that amount is sending a large amount of money to the state for this benefit? Whether it works or not, I don't know. It's enacted. There's nothing we can do about it now except repeal it at some point, maybe, if that's what the voters decide to do.
Yep.
Like it or love it, it's here.
Yeah, and that brings up that question, too, that it is such a, you know, small amount from each individual, but it's coming into a larger pool. But, again, those numbers, are people going to be, you know, theoretically pulling out more than they're putting in and make this, you know, very quickly insolvent at the state level?
That is a budget concern that is way above and beyond my pay grade. I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did. I have not seen the projections on this. My payroll people know that we need to set this up and that it needs to be happening. Once it gets to the state level, I couldn't tell you. If they've got good investors that can make that money grow, great. If they don't, woe be unto us, because the money's going to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think is a little bit of a concern for the business owners mm-hmm. that are out there listening is, what happens if I don't take that out? And it's just going to be like everything else. If you don't take out and send in the taxes, there's a pretty big penalty to deal with, right?
Well, yes, there is. It is going to be far cheaper to comply than it is to fight.
We've had some businesses in town that literally went out of business because they weren't complying with withholding things from.
Mean the restaurant?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, there was a Department of Revenue, Department of Labor. They don't play. They don't. I'll take on the IRS all day long in an audit. Department of Revenue, Department of Labor, they're not as much fun to play with. Mm-hmm. They have their own rules, and they enforce those rules. When you have a smaller government agency, they actually, you will find, have more power than a larger government agency, because they have fewer people, and they can pinpoint, laser point, where they're going versus the big net that the federal government has. But yeah, the restaurant that went out of business, they weren't paying their sales tax, weren't paying income tax, and police came in with Department of Revenue agents and said, everybody sitting down eating right now, you got 5 minutes, and your meal's over, and this place is shut down. Ugly.
Yeah. Now, one of the questions that I've actually had my employers and their employees ask me, and I said, I don't know, but I know the guy who will know the answer, so let me go find out.
No pressure there.
No pressure whatsoever. You know, theoretically, this is an insurance program, right? And folks who are out of the workforce at that point in time, taking the leave, they're getting an insurance benefit. But the question that I keep getting asked is, are these benefits going to be taxed or not taxed?
They're going to be taxed, just like your unemployment is. The federal government a couple years back said $10,300 of unemployment was not going to be taxed at the federal level. And a bunch of states said, oh, we don't like that because we're going to lose revenue, so we're going to tax it. Politics aside, this state was one of them that added that money back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's going to be a taxable benefit when you receive it. There's not going to be an exception to it that I'm aware of. Of course, like with all things tax, the only answer that is appropriate, it depends. It depends on what happens between now and January 1st. And even then, they can change things retroactively, as we've seen in the past, for the tax year. So it's, right now, not enough guidance to tell you it's going to be any different.
But and I assume that, like most things tax-wise, whether that's state or federal, it's going to take a few years before there's really any guidance on it.
Truly. Well, the guidance will change several times, because that's what government does, is they throw something out. It's like cooking spaghetti. You throw it out till it sticks on the wall, and then if it sticks, is it truly done? Or do you want to cook it a little longer? Depends on how you like your noodles. It's the same with programs like this. It's been voted in. It's going to happen. There's absolutely nothing that we can do at this point except change it to make it work later on, because it may not work right away.
Awesome. Well, folks, that is a spot where we've got to take a break here from this first segment. When we come back, we are continuing to talk with the tax man. I got too many T's going on. George, I can't wait to hear what we're going to talk about next, folks. Stick around. We will be right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And don't forget to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRDO. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. Andrew Rogers here along with Rick Stevens, George Sleeman as well, the guest, the tax man, the expert with Westside Tax Services. You know, we've talked a lot of these state programs, things that are really going to start impacting us when it comes tax season, when it comes to, you know, how we file, what we have to pay taxes on, things like that. Another thing that was implemented fairly recently that we all had to kind of adjust to was this additional state-mandated sick leave on top of whatever else your employer does or does not offer. And when we're talking about some of these other state programs like that, you know, we discussed a lot about the expanded family leave during the first segment. When it comes to some of these other programs like that additional mandated sick pay, what, if any, tax implications are there and things that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, the sick leave that was passed by the state has been in place since January 1 of 22. And the employers actually had a choice on this one. You could have a plan that is better than the state's and not have the requirement, or you use the state minimum. The state minimum is 48 hours per year of sick time, not PTO. I remember back in the day, a long time ago, when employers had sick time and they had vacation time. You could not take vacation if you had no vacation time, but you had 300 hours of sick time. So what did that do? It told people call in sick.
Right.
Well, employers got smart and started doing paid time off, where it's a combination of.
Mm-hmm.
The state program is sick time. It's not PTO. So now employers that have a PTO plan in place have to accommodate and allow 48 hours of that to be dedicated to sick time. 48 hours can roll over at the end of the year if none's used until the employee has a maximum of 96 hours. If they, let's for example say you accumulate 48 hours, and it rolls over. And at the end of the year, you get sick. You have 96 hours. You can take up to 96 hours of sick time. But if you take only 10 hours and bring that 96 down to 86, you're going to roll 48 over into the next year, minimum, because that's what the state mandates. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, if you have a better sick time policy than that, you don't have to have that. If you don't have it, you need to implement it, and you're way behind the schedule. It works out to like a minute, an hour of work or something like that. My payroll people have that calculation figured out.
Yeah, it's one of those programs, another program that Colorado is coming out with, because again, in Colorado's infinite wisdom, we need to have our own such plans on top of anything else, is the Secure Savings Program. Colorado wanting to help get into, provide some, you know, minimum baseline retirement savings as well, above, beyond, or in replacement of whatever an employer may be offering.
Yeah. Wow. The best thing about this program is it's a Roth.
Yeah.
Employers that have retirement plans in place can keep those. That's not a problem. This is directed towards those that don't have any retirement plans in place. It's going to be hard for the self-employed because you no longer have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Roth is great because, as I've been saying since I was first on your show and for years before, when they dropped these tax rates down to where they're at now, country's got a spending problem, not a tax problem. But because of our spending problem, these rates cannot sustain the spending we have. So these tax rates are going to go up and up and up. The Roth is a beautiful instrument because I can put money aside, pay tax on it today, but all of the growth, all of the investment is non-taxable when I take it out. So that when this 12% bottom rate, 10%, 12%, 22% becomes 12, 15, 25, like it was and due to go back to in 2025,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to pay that tax on that money. So I'm going to pay it now at a lower rate. It's a beautiful thing that way. But it does not lower your taxable income. And if you're just scraping by as a self-employed person, now you are forced to put money into a retirement plan that does you no good on your taxes this year. What do you do?
Yeah, you know, I was doing some math, and I know that's a little scary at times.
Very.
Right? But as the employee, if my company doesn't have a plan, I've got to put in 5% into the Colorado Secure Savings, but I'm still putting in 6.2% into my Social Security. So really, if I'm looking at this total taxation sort of piece, just between Social Security and the new Colorado plan, I'm putting away 11% of my income. Just on those two pieces.
Yes, you are. And that's going to make it very hard for the self-employed. Self-employment tax at the end of the year, 15.3%. 7.65 is the employee. 7.65 is the employer. When you are a self-employed person, you're both.
Mm-hmm.
It's on your taxable profit. Now they have effectively increased self-employment tax. It's just being paid to the state and not to the feds.
And that's before you get into your normal state income tax, Medicare, and the other mandated deductions that have to come out.
Yes, because this Roth plan, although Roth is the way to invest today. 10 years from now, I can't tell you it's going to stay that way. It depends mm-hmm. on the tax rates. But it doesn't lower the taxable income. And so if you put that 5% in, you're still paying income tax on it. And so it's an additional non-deductible expense put on the self-employed that is my politics need to not show. I have a very conservative leaning when it comes to taxes. However, I do everything I can to get my clients everything back that they can. So we do everything possible with the rules in place.
Mm-hmm.
If they pass a law and it's great for the taxpayer, I'm all behind it. This is one I am just not behind. I agree. Everybody, it'd be great if you had a retirement.
I gotta shut up. But the reality is, great if you've got a retirement, but it's even better on that retirement side if it fits in your budget. You've got the ability to not basically make life today harder because you're being forced to put it away.
Right. And you know, I don't know if this is going to stop anybody from becoming self-employed. I don't know that if it's going to make anybody who's currently self-employed not be self-employed. But it's an additional tax on their money.
Yeah.
There's going to be people not happy with this.
And also from the business side, as a business owner, I have to ensure mm-hmm. that my employees are having the deductions taken out if we don't have a qualified plan, whether that's a 401k, if I'm a nonprofit, a 403b, a simple IRA or a SEP. If I don't have any of those in place, which actually allow them to opt out, I've got to make sure that I'm keeping everything up to date, because if I don't, as the employer, I get fined for
that. Exactly. Yeah, so this is going to take a lot of education on the employer to their employees. It's going to take a lot of education for the employees to understand, where is my paycheck going all of a sudden, because my pay just dropped. On top of the fact we've got inflation going on, the cost of everything is going up. Rent, the cost, well, actually rent is actually dropping because of the influx of rentals in the market now, because the interest rates are so high, people aren't selling their homes because nobody's buying them.
Yeah, but, you know, with this being said too, you know, is there something you guys could forecast, seeing that you could see many more businesses now taking that step to offer a 401k, offer an IRA, any of those plans, being able to utilize the fact that, hey, we are offering something that has that opt-out benefit?
If you have the budget to do the retirement plan, that is a benefit that can help you attract employees over somebody who doesn't have it. But what this has effectively done is eliminated that hedge, because now everybody.
Okay.
And so if everybody's got it, it's no longer a benefit for the employer to advertise, hey, we have this, they don't, come work for me.
But also, though, on the business side, if I've got that plan, I've got that plan in place, and my employees are contributing X dollars and I match a certain percentage, from the business side, that becomes a deduction for me, the part I match, right? Because that's a benefit, an employee benefit in the 401k or the simple that
yes,
I can actually reduce from the business side my taxes on.
Right. And that's 100% correct. But the contribution itself for the employee, looking at it from their side, you know, 20-year-olds aren't worried about retirement right now, although they should be. They're mm-hmm. not.
Indeed.
All they see is my paycheck's less.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see that for 40 years. I don't want it 40 years from now. And the time value of money says they're right.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be worth less in 40 years than it is now. $5 here, $5 there. I'd rather have it today than tomorrow. But, again, they're not seeing all that. They're seeing my paycheck is less. I need a raise.
Yeah, they're going to be a whole new can of worms, if you will, kind of opened up there in the on the employer side of things, that really that employers are going to struggle with, not just coming into the, okay, we got to start this 1-1 of 23, but moving it on down the line as well, because this is not just a one-time, one-and-done sort of thing. This is now perpetual.
It is, and for the next 50, 60 years, it's the way it is. Unless legislation changes it, in which case, now what do you do with the money?
Right.
Call you?
Yes.
Roll it over.
We got to figure out how and, you know, how to make that happen, and is it possible?
Well, I would hope so, but my question is does the state have an exit strategy? I don't know. If this FAMLI gets overturned in future years, what happens to the money that was contributed in that nobody is getting? Where is that money going to go? What is the exit strategy for that? The Roth investments. I'm assuming that those can all be rolled over, so that is their exit strategy mm-hmm. on that. But again, with the 12 weeks, then what?
So, excellent questions. Obviously, we don't have the answers yet, because it's not 1-1-23 or 24 or 25 or 35.
Yeah, see me in 28. I might have them.
Awesome. Well, before we see you in 28, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're continuing to talk about some of these changes, some of these additions to the tax laws for 2023, what's coming down the pike. So stick around. We will be right back.
Money affects each of us in different ways. Sometimes it's a source of stress and fear. Sometimes it's a source of comfort and security. Whatever your perspective, it's always good to get a second set of eyes on your finances to help serve as a guide. If you are looking for that guidance, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday mornings at 10. Products and services offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Andrew Rogers, along with Rick Stevens, George Sleeman, joining us from Westside Tax Services. You know, we've talked a lot about some of the changes that are coming up to tax policies, things like that, that people may not be aware of until it starts being taken out of their check. What other things, you know, as we're looking at the end of 1 year, coming up on a new year here in a couple months, what other things that we may not be aware of are going to be coming down the pike for tax year 23 that we should be aware of, because one way or another, that tax is going to be coming from us, whether we like it or not?
Well, the income tax rates have stayed the same, but the brackets have changed.
Okay.
And I don't have a printout of those brackets with me right now. But because of inflation, because of the IRS and Congress had adjusted all these things for inflation, they tied them to it. There's a lot of changes. The standard deduction changes. The phase-outs changes. And by phase-outs, I mean once you start making X amount of dollars, you can no longer contribute to a traditional IRA outside of employment. You can no longer contribute to a Roth outside of employment, mm-hmm. when your income goes up. It's tied to inflation, and Social Security benefits are going up 8.7%, which typically means VA disability is going to go up 8.7%. That means the military pay will hopefully, hopefully go up at least 8.7%. Thank you guys for all your service. One vet to another. There's everything seems to be tied to that inflationary bit. The savers credit,
Well, and that's one thing that I was going to ask about is, with all these things being tied to inflation, you know, we saw the big, you know, COLA jump, especially for Social Security. Are there any tax implications, or do those taxable levels, because I know a lot of people who may be reliant just on that Social Security income, right on that kind of edge as far as whether or not they have to file taxes, obviously we've seen a bigger jump than we're normally seen to. Are those levels, as far as where people are going to have to file, are they jumping that same level, or now are there going to be a lot of people who don't file starting to have to file?
Great question. If your only income is non-taxable in nature, Social Security is typically non-taxable until all of your income and half of your Social Security is $25,000 or more. Once you hit that level, part of your Social Security becomes taxable. The most that can ever be taxed is 85% of your total Social Security amount. So if you get $10,000 in Social Security, you reach that threshold, the most that will ever be taxed is $8,500. There is that. But if you have VA disability, if you've got SSDI and that's it, you don't have to file a return. You have no taxable income because the VA disability doesn't count. It's non-taxable. You have to look at your totality of your position. One thing that we do at Westside Tax Service is if you bring us your documents, we'll take a look at them. If you are not required to file a tax return, I'm going to say thank you for coming in. I hope to see you next year. You don't owe me a dime. I'm not going to charge you to tell you you don't have to file a tax return. If it's close and we think that you might, we'll run the numbers on it. We'll prepare a tax return. And if there is no taxable income, I'm going to tell you thank you very much. Have a great day. See you later. Bye. Hope to see you next year. So we will help with that. The amount of money that you can make on Social Security if you retired early has increased. So that's a bonus. But there's also the playing around people. And I know people who are in partnerships that are going, no, what, if I reduce my percentage of ownership in my partnership with my wife, who is not collecting Social Security, but I want to, you can play that game, but you need to be careful. Because under audit, you have to show that you sold that interest to your wife. And there may be capital gain because you got to sell it at fair market value. Whole bunch of planning stuff that needs to happen. This is the time of year to get that done.
Yeah, there's definitely that difference between, you know, taking advantage of the tax laws, as you mentioned, you know, really taking a look at what is available and then that kind of better call Saul mindset.
Right. Yeah, we'll do everything we can within the limits of the law. You know, there's black and white tax code. There's gray area that, you know, might work, might not. But if you don't know what that is, the box isn't going to tell you.
Right. Right. You know, we've talked the tax side of it and those implications there. There are also some positives, though, because of the inflation, right? Some of our things in terms of folks who do have a retirement plan available, whether that's at work, whether that's their own IRA or Roth IRA, those actual limits on the contributions for the year have gone up.
Yes, and again, that's due to the inflation. I certainly don't mean to sound like Debbie Downer today. It's just it's tough, given the entirety of the situation. But yes, the amount that you can contribute to the simple went up $1,500. Now, catch up is still in there for us old folks over, you know, well, older folks. We can do the catch up. You know, that brings it up to 17 or, yeah, 17 that we can contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some good things on that. Absolutely.
You know, and the simple, right, of all the varieties of plans out there actually has some of the smaller contribution limits in there, right? If you look at the 401k or a 403b, 457, the for our military folks or the other government employees, you got your thrift savings. That individual max went up to $22,500. Nice. And again, if you are in that 50-plus age range, you can put an additional $7,500. So you could put theoretically $30,000 away in one of those retirement vehicles, which is a whole lot better than the, well, you can now put $7,500 in instead of $6,500.
Yeah, it is. And by now, when the market's on sale, isn't that your phrase?
Yes, yes. When the stocks are down, that means it's a good time to buy.
That's right. And, you know, I agree with that. The retirements that are through your employers are pretty well fixed. Make sure it, I guess my suggestion on this is the same as Dave Ramsey's. Once you're debt-free, except for your house, put into your IRA up to the match, and then 15% above and beyond that into your retirement outside of there. I think this is the time to do that investing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to, if you haven't started, put some stuff away for the end of the year because yes, things are on sale. We talked on the last show how markets typically act after a midterm election, and you know oftentimes they will move up over the course of the next 12 months. So putting more money in on the front end of that. Is there's a statistical likelihood, if we can use it that way, to say, yeah, you are buying in on the low side.
Yeah, and growth is always awesome. And then the tax implications when you take it out will just depend on whether it was traditional or Roth.
Yeah, and that's oftentimes one of those things. I was actually talking with some folks last week, and their question was, should I put money in the Roth? Or should I put money in the traditional? Because they had 401k options for either side. And my answer was,
it depends.
Exactly. Whoa. Exactly.
And, you know, as that person that's not in that advanced range that, you know, is a little bit more, you know, follically blessed in the room right now, not to, you know, pick a sore subject. You know, as you're kind of looking at that, I know there's always, you hear, you know, well, it's either taxed on the front end or the back end, but, you know, really practically on a day-to-day basis, you know, kind of what's that layman terms benefit? What would I actually see one versus another when you're talking between that traditional versus a Roth?
The traditional is going to reduce your taxable income by the amount of money that you contribute. If you're in the 12% tax bracket and you contribute $6,000 to a traditional plan, you're going to save 12% of $6,000 in tax. That's the way to look at it. Now, if you put it into a Roth and pay that tax now, when you take it out in 10, 20, 50 years, and the tax rates are going to be higher, only Lord knows what they're going to be, now it's not taxed at all.
And that's kind of in writing. That's not something that they could all of a sudden change and say, well, you know, you put it in at this tax rate, but, you know, you things have changed. You owe us a little bit more just to make even.
It depends.
Knew you would say that.
That's up to Congress. They're the ones who set up the Roth. They're the ones who can tear it down.
Yeah, that's always one of those things when I'm sitting in on, you know, some of those tax updates and how they're affecting retirement plans. That's the one thing I hope and pray every time I don't hear is that Congress is considering adjusting what happens with a Roth IRA, 401k, whatever. That's definitely one of those pieces where I sit down and look at it and say, okay, we've done all this financial planning and all this retirement planning based on what we knew. Please don't change what we've got to make that adjustment to, because oftentimes it might end up with, you know what, we can't retire now because of this change. We've got to wait 2, 3, 4 more years.
Yeah. And when you're doing long-term planning, be it tax or financial planning, which oftentimes is one and the same, it's hard. The target's moving all the dang time. And, you know, going through boot camp, the 300-yard shot, that was the toughest shot. And then if they moved it, it made it even harder.
Indeed. You know, we're going to talk a little bit in the last segment about tax planning and some of those things that kind of go along with that. But I know that you talked a little bit here, George, about the idea that tax planning for next year should start already. Why is that?
Because if we started today to plan for 2022, I've got 3 months. Excuse me. I have 2 months because it's almost November.
Yes.
To fix what you didn't plan all year on. So your tax planning now, 22 is basically done. What is it that my drill instructor told me? You're going to leave here smart or you're going to leave here strong. Which one's it going to be? You know, we can fix stupid, but it's going to hurt. That kind of mentality. We can make those adjustments. We can make that short-term plan for the long-term problem, but that doesn't fix what going forward. So we need to be talking now about what you're going to do in 2023 to save on that tax bill. That is part of the planning steps.
Awesome. Well, folks, we are up against that final break in the show. When we come back, we are going to talk much more about that tax planning side of thing. Stick around. We will be right back.
Are you worried about what's been going on in the markets and how it has affected your portfolio? Maybe you need a financial checkup. If you have questions about the health of your financial future, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary checkup. And remember to tune into KRDO on Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. to catch Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Folks, welcome back in to Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. Rick Stevens here with my co-host Andrew Rogers, George Schliemann. George, I got to ask you this question, okay? Because I've heard this a lot. I want to know if you've heard this as well.
Yes, the Bears stink.
Well, there's that part.
Oh.
But there's also the fact that God gave some people beautiful heads, and the rest of them he covered with hair.
I agree 100%.
All right, all right. Just got to make sure that we're all understanding the same sort of thing here. Last segment of the show today, we finished that previous one kind of getting into the let's start our tax planning for next year rather than let's start it for this year because we've only got a couple months left. But I want to back this up just a little bit and ask the question, what in the world is tax planning?
Tax planning is when you come in and say, help, and I jump up and say, what can I do? We look at, for the self-employed, where your net income is now. How can we adjust that to be favorable for you in taxes and furtherance of your goals for your business? You know, there's times that if you've got $100,000 in profit, you've got $100,000 in profit. There's nothing I can do. You don't need to buy any machinery because you got all new machinery. You've got great equipment. You've got great employees. You've done what you should as a business to bolster your business. And there's not a whole lot that we can do with that. There's some minor suggestions that we can make. Add to a simple retirement plan. Do we want to have a SEP? That's when we call you in. Do you have the sick pay in place? Are you able to get the retirement plans boosted maybe and profit share with your employees? There's a ton of different things in that realm that we have to call you in on for the retirement end. But if you need new truck for your handyman business, well, maybe this is the year to buy it. And not only that, but this is the last year of 100% bonus depreciation. And so this is the year, if you're going to buy an asset, buy it. That's going to increase your assets. It's still in the company, but it's reducing your profit. You've got 2 months left to figure it out. If you can't figure it out on your own, come see me. Yeah. I'll help you out.
And I guess that dovetails into who all should be doing that tax planning, because I know, again, you're going to tell me it depends. So we'll get that out of the box right now. But when it comes to the idea of making sure that you are planned for taxation, who needs to really be focusing on that tax prep?
Everyone. Not it depends. Everyone needs to do tax planning of some sort. Single mom, two kids. Last year, they got advanced child tax credit July through December. They didn't get it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it doesn't exist anymore. The $3,600 or $3,000 per child doesn't exist anymore. It's now back to $2,000 per child, $1,400 of it being tax refundable. $600 non-refundable. That needs to be taken a look at. The daycare credit, child and dependent care credit, this year on 21 taxes, it was amazing what that was. Half of it refundable. Well, next year goes back to the pre-depression era where you get $600 of non-refundable credit pretty much at most. It's ridiculously low, and people are not probably planning accordingly for that. So everybody needs tax planning, not just the business owner, but the mom, the dad, even the kid. When you're looking at, am I going to claim Junior this year, or am I going to let Junior claim his own? We need to sit down and go over the numbers. Is he working? Because, and how much money do you make? There's the American Opportunity Tax Credit. That can be $2,500 worth of tax savings, unless you make too much money. And then there's none. But Junior made $14,000. And if he's a independent, he gets $1,000 refundable if there's more than a $4,000 difference. Those are the rules that people aren't aware of that need to be talked to and talked about.
So much easier to come see somebody in person right? To actually sit down with an actual live human being to do the tax piece, than either A, trying to go through the box, right? Trying to do it that way. Or B, hey, I got nothing to do for the next 6 weeks. Let me just start reading through the IRS code.
Well, it's a good bedtime story. It's dry. It's very, very long. And it's not like it was back when it was instituted, where there were 6 pages of instructions and 13 lines. You can do it on your own. There's people who enjoy doing that. And if you do, call me. I'm looking for seasonal tax prep. But if you don't enjoy that, the box won't answer the questions. You don't know what you don't know, and what you don't know will hurt you.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things. You know, my parents are back in Southern Illinois, and a few years ago, my dad, who liked to do stuff on his own, going through the box, and it came back to tell him he owed like $9,000. And as his financial advisor, I know how much he makes. And I said, there's no way you can owe that. Here, I'm going to go find the tax ELP in your neck of the woods, and I'm going to send them your information. I'm going to put the note in there that said, hey, I looked this up from Colorado Springs, but here's where my dad lives. Here's what he needs help with. And instead of paying in nine, they got six back just because they talked to an actual human being.
It makes a difference. And you have to talk to somebody who actually knows what they're doing. Do not go to your neighbor who is signing every return as self-prepared, because one, it's illegal that they do it for money, and they're not, don't have a P-10, but that's a whole nother thing. You have to be mindful of who your practitioner is. How long have they been in business? What kind of experience do they have? Are they going to be around in 5 years? Because there's nothing more frustrating than going to somebody and having your taxes done, and you got the great relationship, and now they're going to close their doors. I can tell you with Westside Tax Service, that's not going to happen. We have a succession plan in place. When my business partner retires, we have someone to step into her place. When I retire, I'm working on getting someone to step into my place. So it's going to be there as long as Colorado Springs is, if I have my way.
And George, let's say somebody has been doing their taxes online or with a box for a few years now, but listening to this thinking, you know, now is the time to kind of put on those grown-up pants and actually talk to somebody, do it right. What information should people be collecting now to make sure that that transition and process moves smoothly?
What we ask is that we have last year's filed tax return. If you're not comfortable with it, give me the last couple of years. And the source documentation that you use to create those returns, the W-2s, the 1099s, 1098s, all that. Anything that you use to put a number on that return, I want it. Profit loss, balance sheets, all those matter. Every dime matters on those sheets. We can take a look at them. We do charge for a review of previous years, but it may save you money in the long run. And then from there, that gives us a starting point. You'd be amazed how many people they're used to having, you know, they do W-2s, they have retirement, and now they sold their house, and their kid's going off to college, and, so they want to start having somebody else do it. Well, usually when they bring me last year's taxes and this year's tax information, I can look at last year's taxes and say, wait a minute, what about this LPL statement that you had last year? Where is it? Oh, I forgot all about that. So it gives us a starting place to make sure that we're getting the right information.
Awesome. You know, I can say, as someone who has not done my own taxes for almost 30 years, I appreciate not having that headache anymore. Because as you well know, my taxes are a headache.
I don't want to discuss another client's return on the air.
But the idea here is, when I've got a professional available, right, to go do something, right, I take my truck to the mechanic, because I can flip open the hood and I don't know what half that stuff is in there anymore, because there's no carburetor. in there, right? It's all fuel injected stuff. I've had the vehicle that's actually had the solid underbody. I couldn't crawl under it and see anything if I wanted to. So, you know, I take my truck to an actual mechanic. If I'm sick, I go see a doctor. When it comes tax time, I go see the tax man.
It makes sense to hire professionals who do what they do. If that wasn't the case, every single person would be building their own home, doing their own plumbing, and Regional would never get a house approved in this county.
And George, when it comes to that, what are the biggest misconceptions that you hear from people about why they choose still not to go to a professional?
Because somebody told them, or their dad told them, oh, it's pretty easy, you can do it yourself. That's not always the case. If you've got a single W-2 or a couple W-2s, you are absolutely correct. It could be easy enough for you to do. As long as you didn't buy a house, you didn't sell a house, you don't have any investments, you don't have any children, you don't have any dependents. And dependents aren't always your children. There's a myriad of things in there that can be involved in it. So it's not always best to do your own. There's a guy I'm thinking of that was telling his friend, oh yeah, the S-Corp is easy. We got a hold of that S-Corp, and there was so many errors and so many infractions that he decided to close the S-Corp and just go on as a Schedule C going forward, because he's going to get into a ton of trouble if he didn't.
Wow.
We cannot perpetuate an error. If we find an error and you are doing something wrong, and we tell you that you are doing something wrong and you refuse to change it, I will not be your accountant. I cannot perpetuate that error.
Good, man. Well, folks, we are just about out of time here today. George, if somebody says, you know what, I probably should have a professional look over my taxes, whether it's for the coming year, if it's the last couple of years and we have to file an amended return, how do they get in touch with you guys over at Westside?
You can stop by our office at 27th and West Colorado. Big white sign, can't miss it, Westside Tax Service. We're at 2640 West Colorado Avenue. You can email me directly at george@westsidetaxservice.com. Or you can give us a call at 719-445-0085. Our receptionist is there 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. She'll be glad to schedule an appointment. The very first consultation is free. After that, we do charge.
And how much do you charge? It depends.
It depends.
Awesome. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got for this week on Money Matters. We will be back again next week, continuing to talk about your money, because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.